John chapter 1, you want to follow along through these first 14 verses this morning. And I thought about this text as being a good Christmas text, a good doctrinal text. And I want to give you a little bit of Christmas, a little bit of doctrine today. And I hope it'll just help your faith in the Lord. I want to focus on Jesus Christ this morning and Him alone. Notice in verse 1, our first verse, verse 14, our last verse for this morning. Let's read those together. And if you could, read them out loud with me. John 1, 1, and then we'll skip all the way down to John 1, 14. Verses 1 and verse 14. Ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible is speaking here about Jesus Christ as the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is the Christmas story. Right there in verse number 14, the Word, the living Word. I want to speak about Christ, the living Word, this morning. I hope that you'll become familiar with your Bible in your lifetime. It should be one of the greatest goals of our life is to become familiar with the Bible. The New Testament begins out with four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the Gospel of Matthew, we see Christ as presented as Christ the King. In Mark, He's Christ the Servant. In Luke, He's Christ the Man. But here in John, He's Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. This is probably the best book in all the Bible that strengthens our faith in a doctrine called the deity of Christ. That is, that Christ Himself is God Almighty. God Himself came in the flesh to this earth, as we see this first chapter beginning with those very thoughts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Sounds a lot like what Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:16 when he said, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." God was manifest in the flesh. The Bible here speaks about Christ as the Lord, especially that's the focus, the theme of the Gospel of John, the deity of Christ. Christ, the living Word. We've been honoring the written Word all this year in various ways, and trying to commemorate the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible in the English language, and we've talked about that some this year. I wish I'd have done a better job, but the Bible is the Word of God, and we especially as English-speaking people are so blessed to have it translated into our English language right from the original Masoretic text of the Hebrew and the received text of the Greek. The King James Bible is the only English translation that can make that claim. All the others are from corrupted texts, and so we want to encourage you to stick to the King James Bible. Teach your children the King James Bible. Don't worry, the Holy Spirit will help your kids understand it. He can do that, and just stay away from the other versions. For instance, in verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father." King James Bible is about the only version that leaves the word begotten in there. All the other ones take it out. Well, that word begotten is very important. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. You and I are sons of God by faith in Christ, by belief in Christ, by spiritual adoption. But Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, born of a virgin, literally planted by the seed of God in the womb of a virgin named Mary. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. These other versions take that word begotten out. And they thus water down the doctrine of the deity of Christ and the virgin birth, and it should be left in there, amen? And nobody has a right to monkey with that doctrine. I want you to notice here that Jesus Christ is the Bible in a body. Jesus is the Bible in a body. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Scripture is the Bible in a book. And the Holy Ghost is the Bible in the believer. And we are presented with truth by those statements. Jesus is the Bible in a body. The Scripture is the Bible in a book. And the Holy Spirit is the Bible in a believer. Man, we have it made. We are blessed. In John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 17, 17, it tells us the Bible is the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In John 14, 17, we find out the Holy Spirit is truth. There's only three sources of truth. Jesus is the truth, the Bible is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth. John 14, 17 says, even the Spirit of truth. John 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. I want to encourage you, as you keep your place here, turn to the book of 1 John, chapter number 5. 1 John, also written by John through the Holy Ghost, teaches us in 1 John chapter 5 about the Holy Spirit being truth. I want to encourage those of you that are seekers of truth to start with those who claim to be the truth. Amen? A lot of people go and they say, well, I'm going to research all of science, and I'm going to research all of philosophy, and I'm going to research all of religion, and then if I can't find it in there, then maybe I'll give Jesus an ear. You know, we ought to start with the one who claimed to be the truth. He was pretty bold about it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You ought to start with the one who claims to be the truth. Then if you can disprove him and show that he's not the truth, then go on to science and philosophy and religion if you want to. But don't go backwards. There's a lot of people that do that all their life. All they end up is with a confused mind. They become as confused as a termite in a yo-yo with all of the religion and philosophy and science and so on and so forth, and pseudoscience and theories and so on. Start with the one who claims to be the truth. Start there. And then if you can disprove them, then go on. Start with the Bible, the book that claims to be the truth. Don't read every book out there by every author out there and let your Bible collect dust. No, read your Bible every day. The Bible is the truth. Start with the book that claims to be the truth. Then if you can disprove it and show it's wrong, then go on to other books. Start with the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5, 6 says this, this is he which came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Wow. So Jesus is the truth. The Bible is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth. So we have truth in a body, Jesus Christ. We have truth in a book, the Bible. We have truth in the believer, the Holy Ghost. You understand that if you are saved today, you've received Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is in you. And 1 John 5 and verse 6 we just read says, and the Spirit is truth. How much truth is in you? Look at 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John 2:20, it says this, but you have an unction from the Holy One. I wouldn't believe this except it was written. And ye know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. This Holy Spirit is the unction. That word unction means the anointing. It's the same word that's translated anointing twice in verse 27. The Holy Ghost is the unction. He is the anointing, and you know all things. Look at verse 27. But the anointing, that's the Holy Ghost, which you have received of Him, abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. Notice that the Holy Spirit, or the unction, or the anointing that abides in you is truth. Wow. We've got it made. We don't have to think that truth is some mystery that just a couple people have the privilege of discovering sometime in their life. Truth is not a mystery. It is a revelation. It's a revelation from God to all man. And it's in the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a body. It's in a book, the Bible, and it's in the believer, the Holy Ghost. Man alive. Boy, if we could just sink our spiritual teeth into that, we would be able, as we're going to see here in a minute, walk in the light. I believe if there was a man, and this did happen one time, some of you remember the story a little bit about the mutiny on the Bounty and Captain Bligh and how he commandeered the ship or something. And I forget the whole story, but there was a mutiny and he took it over and he ended up on an island with a whole bunch of just they were just animals. They were barbaric. He was barbaric. And he ended up killing all the men. The only thing left was a bunch of women and him. And they were just barbarians. But he found a Bible. And from reading the Bible, he got saved. Came to know Christ as a Savior. Started leading all the women and all the illegitimate children that were on that island. Led him to Christ. It became a Christian island. The English sent a ship back to arrest them all and try them for treason and punish them to death. But when they got there, they saw the whole island had become evangelized and had become Christian. And when they realized what God had done on that island, the English people just decided to leave them alone. And they went back and reported to England about the great revival there. What amazing transforming power this book has, because this book is truth. And all that was one guy found a Bible, found Christ, and then the Holy Ghost began to teach him the truth. He became concerned for all the other half-breeds and people on that island, began to lead him to Christ. And I believe the same thing is true today. I believe if you never had a pastor, never had a church, and you were marooned on some private island with just a bunch of pagan heathens around you, and you got yourself a hold of a Bible, came to know Christ as your Savior, the Holy Ghost started teaching you, you could become a genuine convert, and the Holy Ghost would be able to teach you anything you needed to know, and you'd be able to start converting people around there, and you'd probably start a church in no time in a Christian community. It's amazing. It's happened many times, many, many times. I remember one time a man telling me about his radio ministry into India, a forbidden place in India. And I was riding on an airplane back from Israel and talking to him. And he said he had a ministry that beamed the gospel. He says, we've targeted areas where people did not know Christ as their Savior, never heard of Christ. And we've targeted that with our radio beam, and we broadcast the gospel into there, and we've been doing it for 25 years. And I said, how has that worked? He said, one time we were able to get back up into one particular area right there. And he said, we found a group of believers that numbered 30,000 in the church. And when they began to question them, how in the world did you come about this? And they said, we heard the truth across the radio. They came to know the Lord as their Savior, and they began to take the truth, and God began to teach them. No missionaries, no evangelists, whatever, God just began to teach them the Word of God. And it's amazing, the truth. Brethren, today Jesus is the Bible in a body, the Scripture is the Bible in a book, and the Holy Ghost is the Bible in a believer. You've got the Bible inside of you in the person of the Holy Ghost who came in the moment you were saved, and he'll abide with you forever, and he is the author of this blessed book. Every word of it has been inspired by the same Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. We have the truth. We don't have to look to everything else and then at the end of our life say, you know, maybe Christ was the truth. Maybe the Bible was the truth. And no, we ought to read it and know Christ and commune with the Holy Ghost right from the beginning. Right from the beginning of our lives and walk in the light of the truth. I want you to notice four things very quickly about Christ today as we make much of him. Number one, Christ is the living Word. Christ is the living Word. In the beginning was the Word. What a statement that is. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, verse 14, was made flesh. Jesus Christ is the living Word. And dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. We beheld his glory. John's saying, look, I beheld his glory. I watched his ministry. I watched his crucifixion. I ran down to the empty tomb that day, and it was empty. And Christ appeared to me that day, and he appeared to me several times after the resurrection. We beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of truth. He's full of truth. Jesus Christ is the living Word. Notice, second of all, Christ the Lord. Christ the living Word. Number two, Christ the Lord. Let's go on, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Who? The Word that was made flesh. Jesus Christ is the Lord. There's so many references here in this chapter and the rest of the book and all the Bible, but to the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not just some martyr. He's not just some prophet. He's not just some guy that started a religion. He's not just some a great teacher or master. Jesus Christ is the Lord. God himself, who came and walked on this earth for about 12,000 days, over 33 years. God was manifest in the flesh. People could hold him. People could touch him. People could feel him. People could see him. People could look at him. Jesus Christ is the Lord. As we saw in the Christmas story over the last few weeks, Micah 5 and verse 2 said that the Lord would come to this earth through a little town called Bethlehem. And Micah said these words of the one that would come through Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. One of the young men asked me the other day, good question, he said, where did God come from? I said, he didn't come from anywhere. He always was. Now, you and I, our minds are too small to get around that. This is where faith comes in. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You know, there are times we believe the unbelievable. And we have to. When you think of the universe, how it has neither beginning nor end. I mean, if you went to the north in the universe as far as you could go and you came to the end, you'd ask yourself what question? What's on the other side? You and I believe the universe has neither beginning nor end. Our minds are too small to get around that, but we believe it. And we believe the same thing about God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. See, Jesus was not created as the cults teach. He's not the brother of Lucifer like the Mormons teach. He's not a created being like the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. He always was. In fact, he was the creator. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ, number two, is Lord. He is the creator. He's not the co-creator. He is the creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. See, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, well, God made Christ, and then Christ made everything else. No, it says all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the creator. When you look out there and see the stars and the galaxies and everything, you can say Jesus Christ made that, and you'd be accurate. Jesus Christ is the living word. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is life. Number three. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. He is not only the creator of all things, verse 3, but he is the giver and the maker of life. In him was life. Christ is life. You know, you and I are made up of a bunch of components or elements that we're the same as dirt. We're the same as dust. And nothing that we are made up of has life in it. But we're alive. Explain that. It's kind of like an airplane. Nothing that an airplane's made of has any life in it. And the thing's dead. It flies, but there's no life in it. And you and I are made up of the same components, the same elements as dirt. Yet we're alive. We think, we love, we have passions, we have pleasures, we comprehend, we communicate. And all these things. Why? Because one day God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. After he formed us out of the dirt of the earth, which has no life in it, God breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. And this God is Christ. Christ is life. In him was life. And then notice number 4, Christ is light. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus Christ is light. This is what I was saying earlier in the message. He is the truth. He is the one who can illuminate our souls, our minds, our understandings with the wisdom that we need. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says about Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, if somebody came to church this morning and I said, hey, I want to introduce you to so-and-so. He knows everything. Boy, you'd want to get to know that guy. Amen. Amen. You'd want to get to know him. And that's exactly what I can say about Jesus Christ. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And too often times we're running off to whatever, you know, schools of higher learning or something. I know there's places for that to learn trades and so on. I understand that. I'm not anti-education. I'm an educator. That's all I do my whole life. Just try to educate people about God and the Bible and so on. I believe in education. But too often we're running to so many, you know, philosophers and, you know, financial gurus and everything else trying to find answers to everything, marriage and so on. Christ knows it all. The answer is always Christ. I don't care what the subject is regarding life or behavior. If you'll seek Christ, he'll tell you what to do. If you'll seek his word, what did he say? And lift that truth out, you will find that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I find that the longer I go through life and the more of a relationship I have with my Bible, with my Holy Spirit, and with the Lord Jesus, the less I need the books that are behind me as I sit in my office and study. Most of those books up there on my shelf I never consult. I could throw them all out today and probably make do with my Bible, make out all right. Make out all right. He is the light. He is the light. Christ can enlighten you in every area of life. And he can show you what to do, even in the most complex times of your life or whatever realm you may be struggling in. As I talk about different realms often, the realm of marriage, the realm of family, the financial realm, the emotional realm, the mental realm, your body, your health, the realm of health and employment, whatever realm you maybe have some struggles in, Christ is the answer and he knows what to do. Christ can enlighten you on what to do in your confusion or your lack of comprehension, or you don't know what to take the next step. But however, we see in verse 5, man cannot comprehend. He must be taught by the Holy Spirit. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's where the Holy Ghost comes in. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Notice that. The natural man. That means if you try to approach the Bible in the natural man, you're not going to understand the Bible. But if you get your Bible open and you'll say, Holy Spirit of God, you wrote this book. Please show me what it means. Please show me how it applies to my life or my age. I'm a young person. I'm a child. I'm an older person. This book can guide you even unto death. And God, the Holy Spirit, will show you. And a lot of times, people will start reading their Bible. January 1st comes, and they get down, you know, maybe through Genesis, and then they quit. They say, I just don't get anything out of it. I'll tell you what, if you'll just open your Bible every morning, and before you read, if you'll say, Holy Spirit, please teach me what I'm about ready to read. You wrote this. You live inside of me to help me. Please show me what it means. I'll guarantee you, you'll have the best year you've ever had in your Bible coming up. And by the end of the year, you'll know more about God, and you'll know more about life, and you'll know more about what to do if you'll just realize Christ is the light and the Holy Spirit can teach us. Now, on top of all that, we see today Christ is the living Word, Christ is the Lord, Christ is the life, Christ is the light. On top of all that, God sends us some men to help us. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Every generation, God has sent men to help us understand the Bible. And we need men like that. We need boys like that. We need boys who are going to learn the Bible. Somebody's got to learn the Bible for every generation. Somebody's got to be able to preach the Bible and teach the Bible and instruct people from the Bible on what to do. We've got to have some boys who will be Bible students. We've got to have some teenagers who will be Bible students. And you young men and boys, you have more distractions and delusions that you have to fight off than any generation. But your help in this world is desperately needed in the spiritual realm. We've got to have boys. We've got to have young men who will stay off the television and stay off the internet and not give all their emotions and passions to sports and making money. And we've got to have somebody who's going to learn the Bible for the next generation. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And God sends men to help us. What kind of a man was he? In Luke chapter 1, it was prophesied of him in verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Amen. I mean, has alcohol helped you or hurt you? And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice, even from his mother's womb. God can fill little boys with his Holy Spirit. It's not just something for old preachers. Always praying for the preacher. Let's start praying for our boys to be filled with the Spirit. Our young men, our young ladies to be filled with the Spirit. Got to have some people filled with the Spirit and emptied of self and emptied of sin, so that the next generation can have some preachers who will occupy pulpits and Sunday school classes and prisons and nursing homes and children's churches and bus routes and so on and so forth, and tell them this is what the Bible says. They got to know the Bible. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. This is the kind of a young man he was. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. In other words, he's going to help the families And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, those disobeying God, he's going to get them to walk into the light of the Lord to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what preachers do. Preachers understand the church or the ministry is not about them. It's about someday presenting those people to the Lord, and hopefully they will have a better standing before God someday at the judgment because they were in the ministry and they helped people. Got to have some young men like that. There was a man sent from God. He was in the wilderness. He was in the deserts to the day of his showing. I mean, he spent almost 30 years in the deserts, just he and him and God alone. And we've got to have some young people who get with God alone. God speaks to quiet people in quiet places, and we've got to have some young men that'll just get away from the distraction of this world. You don't have to have every new gadget that comes out and every new toy and every new video game and so on. These are just things that are designed to keep you from getting close to God. We've got to have some young men who'll get close to God. He'll pay the price. And he'll say no to all of it and walk with the Lord. And John was in the deserts till the day of his showing, but he walked with God. And his showing only lasted 2 years, but it's not the quantity of our ministry. It is the quality of our ministry that's going to matter. We will be judged someday about our ministry of what sort it is, not what size it is. We've got to have some people who know who God is, who know who the Bible is, who know the Holy Spirit, who plant churches and be missionaries and be evangelists and be little children's church workers, and make a difference in the power of God as they preach. It wasn't about him. Verse 7 says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Notice what John would do. John would always exalt Christ, that all men through Christ might believe. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Realize no preacher is the light. No pastor, no evangelist, no missionary, no elder, no Sunday school teacher is the light. We are just to bear witness of that light. There's too much almost preacher worship going on sometimes in churches, like the carnal Corinthians who said, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. And they became a fragmented body of Christ following a certain man. What happens when that man dies? What happens when that man falls? If he falls, heaven forbid. I've seen preachers fall. I have to take heed myself. My flesh is just as weak as anybody's. You know, if a preacher falls, it shouldn't affect your walk with God at all. A preacher's just to help you on to God. He's not that light, but he's to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, verse 9, Jesus, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What a wonderful Savior Jesus is. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made by him. There it is again. Jesus, the creator in the world, knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. His brethren didn't believe in him. John 7, verse 5, his brethren didn't believe in him. Many of the Jews didn't believe. Most of the Jews didn't believe in him, but we do owe a debt of gratitude to the Jews, though. Amen. All the apostles were Jews. Amen. All the 3,000 that were saved at the day of Pentecost, they were Jews. Our faith, our religion was started by Jewish people. Our Lord was a Jew. But much of the nation of Israel rejected Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. Verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The invitation here in verses 12 and 13, I close with this, says receive, believe, belong. Amen. Receive, believe, belong. When you receive Christ as your Savior and believe on him with all your heart, you belong to the family of God. You're born into God's family. Christ is the living word. Christ is the Lord. Christ is the life. Christ is the light. That's what Christmas is about. God in the flesh, the Creator. I'm not the light. I'm not the light. I'm just here to bear witness of the light. Someday you're going to bury me. My witness will be over, but Christ is the light. Look to Him. You might look to me for a little while, but I'm going to deflect your attention to the Lord. Let's get our eyes upon the Lord. Please remember in closing today that Jesus is the Bible in a body. It's the living Word. Amen. The Scriptures are the Bible in a book. The Holy Spirit is the Bible in the believer. As we go off into another year, man, let's walk in truth. Walk in the light of the truth. Let's not be in darkness and wondering, what should I do? Christ can give you light. I'd like us to bow for a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us now, Lord, we pray. We want to ask you to make much of Christ as I've tried to, Lord. I know the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but will testify of Christ, and he's so much better than I. Lord, I just pray everybody here would leave and understand Christ is the answer. And Lord, I think we're reading too many books. We're looking to too many philosophers and too many educators and too many teachers and even to too much religion today, or maybe even superstition, to try to find some answers when all the time it's Christ, in whom is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Lord Jesus, there's nothing you didn't make. There's nothing you don't know. And you want to impart truth to us. Lord, you've given us a book to study. I'm praying next year will be our best year of study ever, the best year of reading. And you've given thy Holy Ghost, who wrote the book, to live in the believer, because he wants to help us. Thy word says wisdom crieth. It's not hid. It's not a mystery. It just cries out loud in the marketplaces, everywhere man is. Thank you, Lord. Help us to walk in the light of the truth and have the life of men. In Jesus' name, amen.